Amen. Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bibles tonight, take them and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and I do want to remind you again of our calling each other to pray. And if you have prayer requests, make sure that you, if you have not already done that, that you take the time and fill out that request, put it on our boards. We have several requests still on the board. And if you've done that, we'll continue to do that week by week. And it's good to see all of you here on this Sunday evening. And may the Lord bless you. And I hope that you have a wonderful start of the new year and of this week. So Hebrews chapter 11 is where we'll go. And also I'd like for you to find in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and find these two places tonight. So when we come to the book of Hebrews, I believe that Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. And Paul, in giving us these wonderful words, these are his teachings and words to the Jewish followers of Jesus and his challenge to those who had believed on Jesus, calling them to make sure that they do not go back in their faith, in their confession of following Jesus. But as I would note on a Sunday night crowd, pretty much all of us in this room know what Hebrews 11 is about. It's a chapter about what? About faith. Think about this. All these that are listed by Paul have the same common faith that you and I have tonight. I want you to think about that. We often look at all of these characters in the book of Hebrews that are listed from the Old Testament, and we think of their amazing lives, but they're just everyday people just like us. They share one common factor with all of us. If you're going to walk with God, if you're going to please God, you must have faith. And so faith is the common element that connects both these who we would call the fathers and mothers of the faith and all of us who believe to this very day. So I want to read several verses for you and then make some comments, and then we'll pray together and we'll ask the Lord to help us as we get ready for another week. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the men of old gained approval. Then we read in Hebrews 11, beginning in verse number 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And then in verse number 39, and all these, Paul makes a great list of those who believed by faith. After making this comment, he ties their faith to our faith and your faith. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Heavenly Father, we ask that tonight you would help us to be encouraged by the example of Abraham. He exercised in those very ancient of times faith just like us. And then may we take the example of Abraham and apply it to our own personal life and our walk with you today. And Lord, may we understand clearly what it is that you've called us to do. You've called us to walk by faith and not by sight. You've called us, Lord, by faith to trust in you Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of life, and to believe that you were raised from the dead, and put our faith and our assurance and conviction in your life, Lord Jesus, and we have and we do and we believe tonight with great assurance and conviction that the things that have been said about you and told and taught to us are true and real, and we have experienced the change and power of God in our life because we have believed by faith. Help us, Lord, to see in the example of Abraham a common faith. It's not one that comes back because of our heritage or our ethnic background. It's not based on our language. It's not based on where we live, our faith. Put our faith in you. And when we do, Lord, you take care of us in ways that we cannot understand. So, Lord, help us tonight as we think about these truths related to Abraham. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll also take your Bible now and hold your place in Hebrews 11. And before I read Paul's comments about Abraham, I want us to read about Abraham. He is a descendant of Shem. And if you go back not many chapters, you find the flood, and then you have the rainbow promise in Genesis 9. You have the descendants of Noah. You have, after the flood, the universal language. All the world spoke one language. And then, because of the pride of man, God brought confusion to the world. And to this very day, multiple languages exist all around the world. And then you come on in chapter 11, and you find, beginning in 11:10, all of the listing of the descendants of Shem. Why would this be important? It's because God works through people. God works through families. God works through countries and nations. The work of God is among people, not among angels. It's among people. So the descendants of Shem are listed here, and you can read that on your own. I do want to read something that's somewhat sometimes left out before we read these wonderful words that describe God's dealings specifically with, he was called here Abram, later Abraham. And I want to read beginning down in verse number 27 of chapter 11. Now these are the records of the generation of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father, Terah, in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldees. Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Ishak. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram. This is a very important statement. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, pay attention to the Word of God. Pay attention to the words. Now, after all of that, now, the Lord said to Abram, they're just settled. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions, which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now if you'll keep your place in Genesis there and go back to Hebrews 11. And now we read and we'll focus on one verse, verse number 8 tonight. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. First of all, I want us to go back and look at the definition of faith, which is so helpful for us here in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith has two component parts. Faith is expressed in two ways. First, assurance of hope in God's promises. Notice what it says in your Bible, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance, is this word. Is the assurance. Sometimes your Bible says substance. The better word, it's the word assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of hope in God's promises. There is no assurance. There is no hope without promise. Everyone here tonight who's had hope in your life, you have gained hope perhaps from your family or from some job thing. There's hope that comes with promises. Promises and hope are always tied together. Faith is assured hope. Faith is assurance of hope, and it is the conviction of the things that are not yet, that they will happen. So I would say it this way for you to remember. Faith is the assurance in God's promises and the conviction in God's plan. I hope you catch that, because it's very important. No matter who you pick in as we call it, the Hall of Fame in the book of Hebrews, your faith and my faith come just the same. It is assurance of hope in God's promises. It is conviction in what's not yet come to be, but is God's plan. That is the focus of faith. God's promises and God's plan. It's not faith in someone else, nor human beings, nor our own creativity or ingenuity or our smarts or our country. Faith is assurance in God's promise. What He promises, He fulfills and finishes. It is assurance that gives hope, because when God makes a promise, He always comes through. Can anybody say amen? I'm trying to help you here tonight. Faith is a conviction. It's a conviction. It's something you don't back off of. It's something you stand on. Whether it's a good day or a hard day, whether you're healthy or sick, you stand with conviction on the promises of God. Whether you lose everything, this is what we learn from the early church. As they were killed and slaughtered, led to the slaughter under the Roman government and scattered all over the world, they had a conviction and a faith that stood. I ask you tonight, is that the kind of faith you have? Or is it just a convenient cultural thing that we've adopted? You see, Abraham, as we read in Hebrews 11:8, he was a man who had assurance of hope in God's call and promise, and he had conviction in what had not yet taken place. So I always read this to get my mind around it. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet. That's what faith is. You don't see it. You can't see it. Faith is trusting in the purposes and promises and plan of God when you can't see it. That's why we say such ridiculous things to the world as Jesus is coming again, and you get laughed at. Well, He is coming again. He is coming again. He will make a visible return, physically, visibly, to this earth. And oh, what a shocking time it will be. It'll even be shocking to some people who call themselves Christians, who didn't think it was going to quite work out like that. Jesus is coming again. It's something I can't see. So when we look at Abraham, we find this man and his family that settled. I like the way, you know, the Old Testament is wonderful. The days of Terah were 205 years and Terah died in Haran. But up in verse number 31 of chapter 11, Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, and the daughter-in-law, and all of them. They came from the Ur of Chaldeans, this strange place, Ur of Chaldeans. And they entered Cana, and they went into Cana as far, they didn't go very far, you have to read, look at a map, Old Testament map, as far as Haran. And then, what a wonderful phrase, they settled there. And then, just when you are settled, God speaks. Just when you're settled, God calls. This is God's way. They settled there. I would imagine Sarai and the others finally, after all of this traveling around, breathed a sigh of relief. Thank goodness we're at Haran and we don't have to go anywhere else. Well, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram. We don't have the rest of the detail here. We know that Moses, when we studied experiencing God together, we know that the Bible tells us Moses was out there on the backside of the wilderness and God spoke to him out of the bush that burned and never was consumed. We don't know how. It simply says, now, while they're settled, while everybody's comfortable, while everything looks the way it ought to be, God says something to Abram. I'm making a point of this to ask you. Have you become so settled that when God says something to you about what He wants you to do, you really don't want to do it? They're settled. Settled in Haran. Why would we go anywhere else? We got all of our family here. We learn here, this man had the same issues we have. He collected all kinds of stuff. It says that he took all the things that he had accumulated. He brought it all the animals, all of his accumulated things, everything they had, and they go to Haran and they settle there. And now the Lord says to Abraham, Abram, go forth from your country. You're settled. And now, here's what I want you to do. Get up and go. Have some of us missed those calls of God in the past? when the Lord said, get up and go. Time's up. It's time for you to move on. You see, what we find in our faith, ladies and gentlemen, is that walking with God is not only faith that saves us, but it's faith that directs our paths. Trusting God. So I want you to see three things about Abraham here from Hebrews 11, 8, and then I'll apply them to us for just a moment, and then we'll finish up for today. I want to use the words, instead of saying Abraham's faith, I'm going to use the definition of faith in chapter 11, verse 1. Number one, Abraham was assured and convinced of God's call. We read it in Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram. In verse 4, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. How does God call us today? Hebrews 11:8. What do we read? We read in God's word, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, what did he do? Say it to me. What did he do? Come on, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible, Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, did what? Thank you. When God calls, we leave our convenience. Oh, it's hard to follow God when you're settled in. You know that? It's hard to obey the Lord when everything, you got all your stuff. When everything seems to be the best. Now the Lord said to Abraham, Abram, he said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, your love and your commitment to follow me must make it appear that you hate your relatives and others. You must hate your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters and even your own life if you'll be my follower. There is a call of God that separates us from everyone else and everything else in our life. And I ask you tonight, in your satisfaction and in being settled in, have you been listening to God as He speaks to you? What does the Lord call you to do? Oh, Pastor Mike, that was for Abraham. He was a really important guy. No, he's no more important than you and me. Just another fellow living in Haran, with all of his stuff, satisfied because his dad brought him there. And then his dad died and they buried him there. Why would he want to go anywhere else? You see, he was assured and convinced. He was assured and convinced that God spoke to him. Well, we have God's word. We don't know the mysterious way God spoke to this man who was a patriarch. We don't have the description of it. It's not given to us, and anything we'd make up is just being made up. But whatever happened, now the Lord spoke to Abram. The reason why I make much of this is because I do believe that when we pray, the Lord speaks to us. He speaks to you. But you have to pray. The older I am, the more I'm convinced that we need to spend more time letting the Lord speak to us. Every one of you have issues in your life. And you see, what we tend to do is say, here, look, Lord, I'm right here. Here's me. The whole world revolves around me. We forget, no, it's not my will. It's not my plan. It's not my purposes. You see, Abraham was settled in. Multiple generations at Haran. All the relatives were there. It was convenient. But God spoke, and he, by faith, I want you to hear the words, by faith, when he was called, he obeyed. Are you willing to do the same. Faith says, when God calls, I will obey. Number two, he was assured and convinced of God's promise. Notice what Hebrews 11:8 says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. And how did he obey? By going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went, and we read it earlier. I'll go back and read it again for you. Genesis 12. So Abram goes out with Lot. He's 75 years old. He takes all of his accumulations in verse 5, 12:5, and he passes through the land of Canaan. The Canaanites were there. And then verse 7 again, the Lord appeared to Abraham, and look what he did here. This is why I'm talking to you here about God's promise. He appeared to Abram and he said, to your descendants I will give this land. My second principle, did you hear it? He was assured and convinced because God spoke to him and promised him. We are such blessed people to live by the promises we have from God. Are we not? We are a blessed people. We who are followers of Jesus have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm challenging you and myself tonight to think about Abraham's faith and not make it some unique kind of faith. Put him up there in some kind of hall of fame. No, he's just like you and me. The same faith of Abraham is your faith. Your faith is your assurance and conviction in God's call on your life. Do you remember when God called you out of your sin? Do you remember when God called you to salvation? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember when God called you to do what He called you to do? And you were willing to leave everything and do what He called you to do. But then we settle in. Then we get comfortable. And the Lord calls and we stay rather than go. We stay where we are rather than respond and obey. You see, he went out. It took effort. He had to get up and drag all his family and all of his things with him. And he went out. And he went out with tents. He went out with all these, like a travel trailer. Who wants to live their life in a travel trailer? I'm sure some people do, but I don't think Pat would go for that for very long. So God says, get up and go. I will give you a land. And finally, he was assured and convinced of God's direction. Please notice it says, he went out not knowing where he was going. Well, Abraham didn't make very good plans, did he? He wasn't a very good planner. Really had nothing to do with plans. I want you to read again these wonderful words. We read them earlier in Genesis 12, but catch them now. When the Lord made the promise to him that this land would be his, by the way, it wasn't his. There were Canaanites all over it. Belonged to somebody else. This land's going to be yours. All this you've traveled over, all this you've walked over, all this you've slept on, all this land's going to be yours. So what did he do? Verse 7, he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He came and he met and he worshiped the Lord. Then in verse 8, chapter 12, verse 8, Genesis, he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent on the mountain. He pitched his tent on the mountain east of Bethel. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord on the mountain east of Bethel. He built an altar to the Lord. And please notice, he called upon the name of the Lord. What does that phrase mean in the Old Testament? When you call upon the name of the Lord, you call upon the character of God, His holiness, His graciousness, His faithfulness, His loving kindness. So we see tonight We see tonight in Abraham what's true for all of us. By faith, we're assured and convicted in God's call. He calls us to salvation. He calls us to fellowship with Him. He calls us to serve with Him. Is the Lord calling to you, friend? You got to go pray. You don't need to go talk to anybody else. You don't need to have another conversation with somebody else. You don't need to call up your best friend, get their counsel and advice. You need to go to that closet and shut the door and talk to the Heavenly Father in secret. He has something to say to you. I'm not just wasting my breath up here. I'm appealing to you as your pastor. You need to go listen to what the Father has to say to you. If you listen to Him, we're all better for it. If I listen to Him, we're all better for it. This is what we do. This is how we live our lives by faith. We go and we listen to God. You must come away from your prayer closet assured and convicted that God has spoken to you. By faith, we're assured and convicted of the promises of God. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are labor, who are weary, and I will give you what?" It's what He promised. When the Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be," it's a promise. The promises just pour out. The promises are given to us over and over. So we have assurance and conviction to live our life regardless of what comes in our world, in our families, in our own personal lives. We're convinced because we live on the promises of God. We live on the call of God. We live off the promises of God. And finally, we're assured and convicted because God directs us. We don't know where we're going. Like a fellow said one time, you know, in a church meeting, "What are we doing around here? Where are we going? What's the plan? What are we going to do?" By faith, we're going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Over and over in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Do this." The Holy Spirit said, "Do this." It's interesting how the Lord speaks to people. So tonight I want you to remember Hebrews 11:39. All these things, having all gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Was God being cruel? No. Because what God was doing is connecting Abraham to you and to me. Like faith. Like calling, like promises, like direction. Listen, some of us have lived long enough in here. We know what it means when we learn those wonderful words in the book of Proverbs. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him," and He will do what? He will direct your path. God will direct us, and God will lead us for as long as we're alive until Jesus calls us. Because God had provided something better for us, a better way. Abraham only saw from afar. Abraham didn't understand or know. He exercised faith in the promises he was given. We have been given it all because Jesus came, the better one. The better way, our high priest. And then we come finally to the end, and this is what I'll read finally, will be done. Hebrews chapter 12. Paul makes this great contrast between Mount Sinai, two mountains, the mountain of Sinai and the mountain of Zion. And he reminds us of the better mountain. We have come to an invisible mountain. You can't see it yet. Faith is the conviction of what you can't yet see. You have come. Let me just read it to you. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. This is Hebrews 12:22. The heavenly Jerusalem, and its myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. So, Heavenly Father, tonight, we thank you that we have like faith as Abraham. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the example of Abraham. But he is no better than us. His faith made him right with you and approved with you, just like ours. Our faith makes us right with you and approved with you. Lord, I pray tonight for my friends who are here tonight, and I pray for the many who are a part of our church who are just settled into life. They've settled. They have their lands, they have their possessions.